Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us, and welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast. We appreciate your support and have a special interview and episode for you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy learning about sports and opportunities around the world. Here comes the music. I gotta let you go.
He goes, I'll give you $750,000 a year to sign with us.
Without right even now, showing off.
He goes, don't even walk over to the field.
Because I had no idea that my passport was even expired.
Let me tell you, I sent out 6,000 emails.
Gentlemen, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us, as athletes, were taught how to use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, Jay, get me out.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over it.
You finished the game with a broken hand?
Yeah, I finished the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
There are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey my last season.
Okay. The ABL, formerly known as or sometimes referred to as Asian Basketball League, is made up of teams in a certain region. The name would make sense that these are teams, for the most part, in Southeast Asia. Team in Thailand, the Philippines, Malaysia, Taiwan, Macau, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Vietnam. This may be a league that you are not familiar with, or maybe you haven't heard about before, but there are some names of players specifically for this situation, imports, that probably ring a bell to some of you basketball fans. These names include people like Mike Singletary from Texas Tech, Justin Brownlee, who's made a career of dominating in the PBA, the Philippine Basketball Association, and OJ Mayo, star from Syracuse. The ABL is a league that, like I said, it may be a league you've never heard of. Or maybe some of you more seasoned international players are far more familiar with the ABL. The ABL is loaded with talent, and what makes it fun to watch is that it brings teams, like we just mentioned, from different countries to play against each other. Countries that, some of which, bring some of the most intense fandom I have seen in international basketball, including the team from the Philippines, as well as some of the other ones that bring in quite a fan base. In addition, these teams are obviously sponsored by a corporation, which is very common. And so these corporations, if you look at it at a business standpoint, are not only trying to get their name out in their country, but are also trying to reach out into a more international market, a regional international market, I'll give it. But they are now reaching out to countries outside of their own, which makes it even more intense and even more important for success for that team. So let's give an example. The team out of the Philippines, just to use them as another example again, is the San Miguel Alab Pilipinas. And that team, San Miguel, that's a beer. This has come up before. They have a team in the PBA. And so by having a team in the ABL, you are now trying to bring that brand to different countries in Southeast Asia. So if you look at it from a business standpoint, it's also very important to do well in the ABL because now you have a large potential market of customers who will buy from you or might buy from you now that they hear from you because you're doing a lot better in a league. I mean, that's the basic idea of corporate sponsorships in sports to begin with. But now when you're going outside of your own country and you're playing neighboring countries that could be a market on their own, that next step league becomes even more important. Now, ABL, like I said, is made up of teams in countries that are nearby, but their own countries, right? They have their own borders. Some of them are islands. What that means is there's travel involved, obviously, in order to get to those countries. Well, travel has not been a very successful industry in the current situation that we're in right now with COVID-19. And so sports in general have taken a hit, but even more so the sports leagues that require travel, and even more specifically international travel, you can imagine how they have taken a severe hit. Because of that hit, it has been rumored that the ABL will be closing and ceasing all operations for the future. The only official statement and word from ABL so far is that this season, the 2020 season, will not continue. That being said, rumors continue to flare up about what the future of the ABL might look like and if and when they will ever return to league play again. To address these questions and these rumors, as well as to give you, the player and fan, a better idea on what the ABL is, we welcome a special guest. For this episode, we welcome Kevin Yerkes. Kevin is the director of basketball and head coach at the Saigon Heat, which is the team that plays in the ABL that's based in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Kevin's here to, like I said, talk ABL, give you guys specifics on those opportunities, talk about basketball in Vietnam, which is going to be a market we have yet to talk about, so that's going to be great and exciting. And in addition to all that, he will also address the rumors that I mentioned just a minute ago about the ABL closing and give as much information as he can, honest information that he can. So enjoy this interview with Kevin. We will continue to keep a close eye on ABL to see what's going to happen with them in the future. But for now, we have to take the words that we're given. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our interview with Kevin Yerkes to talk about ABL, basketball in Vietnam, and the future of the ABL as he honestly sees it so far. Enjoy. Thank you. This episode is also brought to you by our friends over at Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Louisville, Texas, brought to you by Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to bring success to the lives of young men in ways in which they may have not reached that success otherwise. One of the ways in which they do this is through their professional basketball team, the Louisville Yellow Jackets, who play in TBL or the Basketball League. Make sure you go check out Creating Young Minds on all major platforms, including Facebook and LinkedIn. I encourage you to dive more into the mission of Creating Young Minds as they strive to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How about you, Aaron?
I'm doing all right.
First, tell me a little bit about you and sure. your platform and such, and then I'll get into who I am and what I do.
Yeah, no problem. We run Globally Ballin, and our focus is to spotlight or promote leagues, spotlight teams and opportunities, and tell player stories. And we focus through a number of different mediums, different leagues throughout the world, basically outside of the big five leagues: the NBA, the NFL, NHL, MLB, and MLS. Anything other than those are the big ones. And so what we found out early was that many athletes, maybe to the exclusion of male basketball players, have no idea or very little idea about the opportunities to play outside of those big leagues, especially female athletes who don't even necessarily know that there's professional leagues for them in their sport anyway. But even in the case of male basketball players, we realized that the information was either not accurate or very, very low, the information that they knew, or they'd get it late. Like if they would have known early in high school, maybe they would have kept going if they knew that there were all those opportunities out there for them to begin with. So really, that's what we've turned into. We do podcasts, we do some video work, and we do articles, all that come out in different schedules to work through that. So,
and you guys are familiar with basketball in Southeast Asia, the ASEAN Basketball League, other leagues around?
I would say our most talked about league is PBA in the Philippines, and so we are briefly aware of, I always refer to it as ABL. I don't know if what they usually go by is it they usually
it's go the by. ABL. So it used to be the ASEAN Basketball League, but now the league has expanded beyond the ASEAN region once we brought teams in from Taiwan, China, Hong Kong, Macau. Now it's just referred to as the ABL.
Okay, and that makes sense. Okay, so who is in it then now?
Yeah, so obviously with COVID and things moving and being on hold and teams and budgets changing, I'll tell you where we were last year. And for the most part, the core of the league is still intact. Last year we had 10 teams. We had the Saigon Heat, which is the club that I'm affiliated with. We're the sole representative from Vietnam. We have Mono Vampire, which is a representative team from Thailand. You have San Miguel Ala Pilipinas, which is a team based in the greater Manila area. Singapore Slingers, obviously from Singapore, the Kuala Lumpur Dragons from Malaysia. You have the Fuban Braves, which is a one of the power teams in Taiwan, along with the Formosa Dreamers, another Taiwanese team, the Hong Kong Long Island Eastern, the Macau Black Bears, and the Macau Wolf Warriors. And I think that's 10 teams. I didn't miss anybody there. Yeah, those are the 10 teams that made up the league last year. So 10 teams spread over 9 different countries.
Okay, so...
is what makes up the ASEAN League.
All right, cool. Okay, so I don't think we formally have you introduce yourself, so let's do that real quick.
Okay, sure. I am Kevin Yerkes. I'm an American living and coaching in Southeast Asia. I've been out in the region here 5 years. I'm currently in Vietnam, where I am the director of basketball and the head coach for the Saigon Heat, which is a club team in Vietnam that plays year-round between the ASEAN Basketball League, the ABL, and the VBA, the Vietnam Basketball Association. And I'm also the national team director and national team men's head coach for the Vietnam national team.
How long have you been out in Vietnam? I mean, have you been out there? You said 5 years. Has it been, were you out there that whole time?
No, I spent a couple of years in Thailand, and I've been in Vietnam since 2017.
And then where were you before that as far as your basketball career?
So prior to coming to Southeast Asia, I was living in the United States, kind of one step in basketball, one step out. I was in the private sector for many years while I was still, involved in basketball in other ways, training players, running, teams that were playing in tournaments and recreation leagues and semi-pro leagues and that before I decided to move to Asia to coach full-time at the end of 2015.
Okay, and so let's start with actually the Vietnam League, the VBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many teams are right in VBA?
This year we'll have 7 teams in the VBA. It's been 6 the previous 3 seasons. We've got a new team, the Nha Trang Dolphins, which is a beach city here in Vietnam. It's an outstanding national professional league. Some call it a local professional league. 7 teams spread all throughout the country in a home and away format. And it's really been the backbone for the development of basketball in Vietnam. The VBA is entering its 5th season, has tremendous fan support. Our local players have improved immensely over these 5 years. We've brought a number of Vietnamese heritage players back to Vietnam to assimilate into the basketball culture. And it's just been a huge success. And the league's continuing to grow. Basketball's growing here. It's a relatively young sport in Vietnam, but it's rapidly gaining popularity. It's currently now the number 2 sport behind soccer here in Vietnam.
What does it look like for international players playing in Vietnam? Is there a limit? How does that work for imports?
Yeah, so I'll talk in 2 different contexts here. For the VBA, it's a 1 import per team league. And if you can imagine, we're a developing nation in terms of basketball. Our players are not very big. You know, we've got a lot of 6'1 and 6'2 centers. So you can imagine the 1 import for each VBA team is generally a bigger player, I'd say 6'7 plus, that is multi-skilled, high motor, the ability to play 40 minutes under the FIBA rules, and then, to block shots, to be able to defend the paint. A lot is asked of this import, 1 per team. Staying on the floor is very important, staying out of foul trouble, but it's a great opportunity for an import to come in here, put up big numbers, establish a resume and an identity in Asia. Our league is very well watched by other teams and other countries throughout the region. If you get a chance, advice I would give to any import, if you can find a league that's a 1 import per team league, that's a golden opportunity. You're going to go someplace and essentially be the man, as opposed to, playing in a league, for example, like the Ciba Copa League in Mexico that has, 5 to 7 imports per team. You've got a lot of players, you got to spread the ball around where you come to a league like this. And as a sole import, you can really launch your career. And the guys that have come here over the last 4 years, that's exactly what they've done.
So let's talk about that for a second. Being the only import in a league, we have had, we talked on several occasions talking with the PBA, how those contracts can be quite short. I mean, a guy can be in there for 3 games and out because they only get 1. They can't mess this up. If you're not ready to go, you're out. Is it the same kind of feel in Vietnam?
No, it's not that here. Our league is not for the 1 import. It's not a high paying league. So the league has a salary cap for import players. That salary cap is $1,500 a month, which is considerably less than what you'd see in the PBA or Japan or other places. So that really limits many imports to come here. You know, players are looking to get paid and they want to get good contracts. And, you know, especially if they're knowledgeable of international basketball. But when players come here, when teams invest in a player, it's very rare here in the VBA that a player gets swapped out if he has a bad game or two. This is not a league where players are here to pad their stats. It's the league is set up. There's a lot of parity between teams. I mean, players, import players, local players, heritage players, they're here to win. So rarely do we find an import that comes in and is not given his best effort. So we haven't had a turnstile of imports, you know, throughout our seasons. When guys get here, it's very likely that they'll stay.
Let's take it from your team specifically. If you bring an import to play with Saigon, do they immediately get to also play in ABL as well? Or is it a different roster, different setup? How does that go?
That's a great question. That's a question I get asked all the time when we're recruiting players. There are actually two different leagues, two different setups. The ABL is a three import per team league. The salaries are considerably higher. So obviously the travel over nine countries, it's quite a great league for players to play in. You get to travel all throughout Southeast Asia, which is, you know, one of the fastest growing regions in the world, you know, big cities, big metropolises, safe, great weather. And then, you know, you get a very good salary in places where the cost of living is a fraction of what it is in the West. So the demand and the desire to play in Southeast Asia in the ABL is really high. Luckily, as for the Saigon Heat, we play in both leagues. So in some cases, we can use the VBA as a trial for our ABL team. And we do. So players that, once they understand who we are and a bit about our organization and how we compete, they'll take the opportunity to play the VBA to showcase their talent for an ABL spot. And so it's a win-win for both.
Let's talk about something you mentioned just a second ago. Cost of living low, all of that stuff, and, you know, growing, fast growing. One question we have had come up quite a bit when it comes to Southeast Asia is that question of safety. Now, you noted that it's quite safe. I've had no issue when I was there, but it does kind of have that stigma for some as not being a very safe area, and that could be completely unfair. So I just want to hear what you think.
Yeah, so I'll give you a very straight answer. You know, I've been in the region a long time. I've been in every country, variety of reasons, from visa runs to travel to work, you name it. And so I have a really good handle on the landscape of Southeast Asia and the safety and, you know, everything else that we'll probably discuss. And I'll say this, you know, I've lived in Vietnam and in Thailand, both places. These two places, you know, Bangkok is, you know, 20 million people. Ho Chi Minh City is, you know, 11, 12, 13 million people. These are massive cities. And these large cities are safer than any of the top 50 cities in the United States. I can literally walk outside anytime at night. You know, people are smiling. They're generally happy. There's not street crime. I mean, there is, but not to the magnitude that people would think. You know, the worst thing that might happen to you is you might get your cell phone pickpocketed. That's, you know, a common, you know, petty thing. But, you know, there's not these massive muggings and, you know, there's not road rage and things that, you know, we are more accustomed to, say, in the States. It's really safe. People are friendly. You know, it's a little chaotic at times with traffic and, you know, people driving in different directions. You know, you got to really pay attention. There's not a lot of rules on the road, but in general, it's an extremely safe place.
Talking back here now with imports so they can get an idea, if they'd come and play, we've asked this question every time we lock in a new league, and that's if an import comes in and they walk out on the street, is the crowd at the point where they're going to know these people at the market, in the street, or not yet?
Well, they're not going to know them like an NBA player, but they're going to notice that they're different.
Yeah.
When you see a country of, I'll take Vietnam, for example, you know, there's not very many tall people in the country. So the first thing when you see a basketball player is going to be tall, taller than the average person, a lot taller. They're going to be, you know, say everything here is done in meters. They're going to be, you know, 2 meters plus, where the average person here is, 1 meter 72, which is about 5'7", 5'8". So they're going to look at you. They're going to notice you. You know, in the States, when people look at you, you know, sometimes we take offense. Why are you looking at me that way? But it's not like that here. People are looking at you because they're curious to know about you. You know, you're interesting to them. So they're looking at you with a very pleasant look. The second thing is, living in the United States, Canada, you know, UK, France, Western countries, you know, they're very diverse in terms of their population. I lived in Los Angeles. You know, we had people from all over the world living there, all different ethnicities. It's not the same here in Southeast Asia. In Vietnam, you know, most of the people that you see are Vietnamese. So when you see somebody who's a foreigner, it's not as common as, you know, us seeing people from different nations as Americans.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely, yeah, I can relate to that, especially going to the Philippines quite a bit. That can definitely be the case.
It's just a general interest, and they're interested to know you, know about you, because they just haven't had the exposure. And it's interesting. It's not like there's no, there's not any hate or ignorance or, you know, some of the things that we're experiencing in the United States. It's just a region of where people are being exposed to new cultures. They're embracing it. They're really interested in learning and trying new things. And part of that is meeting and observing new people and our basketball players, because they stand out physically. You know, they're often in the spotlight. Now, when you talk about in terms of knowing them, knowing who they are, you know, the basketball fans will know who they are because they follow the social media and they pay attention to the news. So, you know, the people that are really involved in the game will recognize. But the average person, it's not like LeBron James walking down the street or Alex Rodriguez or, you know, it's not that common.
All right, let's branch off here. Before we get to ABL, I want to look at, just get your view on these other leagues in the Southeast Asia region. Before we get to ABL as a whole, how would you rank some of these leagues? Like, which one stands out? Obviously, I think most people listening probably have an idea of kind of who's in the top two here, but who are some of these other leagues and where might they fall when it comes to basketball in Southeast Asia?
Well, yeah, obviously, at the top of the list, you have to put the PBA. The passion of basketball in the Philippines is undeniable. It's the number one sport there. I mean, the people are crazy. The players are stars. Packed houses, you know, the Mall of Asia Arenas is the size of any arena, NBA arena you're going to see in the United States. It's modern, you know, so the PBA is in a class of its own. And you've been to the Philippines. I think, you know, you understand that. And most people that follow basketball would as well. You know, and right after that, you've got a couple of really good leagues. You have RVBA, because it's one import. It's not a high paying league, but the structure of the league, salary cap, draft, parity, a very togetherness. Everybody wants to win, but there's a togetherness in how they run the league. Every game has great media and live stream coverage. So our league is widely respected, even though it's we're just entering our fifth year. The other league in Indonesia, the IBL, the Indonesian Basketball League, an outstanding league. Their format's a little different, where in Vietnam we run a home and away system. They run a like a travel system where they play different sites each weekend, and the teams will travel and they'll play a handful of games over 3 or 4 days at one designated location. It's just a different model than what we have in Vietnam, but it's a way where they're growing their overall fan base in Indonesia, and it's been quite successful. That's a really, really good league. So, you know, right after the PBA, I'd put the VBA and the IBL right there in that second tier. And then, you know, after that, you know, you've got, you know, your leagues in Thailand. They've got a couple of different leagues, but they don't have quite the fan support that the leagues in Vietnam or Indonesia or Philippines have. You know, Malaysia is similar to Thailand. You know, they've got a couple of different leagues and tournaments, but not a lot of fan following. If you just get on the outskirts, if you get to Taiwan, obviously Korea, Japan, you know, these are really good leagues. You know, Japan and Korea are right there with the PBA. I'd say Taiwan is, you know, right in between, say, the PBA and, you know, what we're doing here in Vietnam and the VBA.
So real quick clarification. I heard you mention a parity when talking about your league. I'm not actually sure what that means. Can you clear that up for me?
Yeah. So take a look at an NFL model, for example. The NFL has a salary cap, has a hard cap, whether you're the Kansas City Chiefs or the Los Angeles Rams, a small market, big market, you can only spend a certain number of dollars on your roster. And they've got a draft system. So, you know, every team has the ability to go into a draft a player. You have the same amount of money to spend. So you have to be wise with how you spend your money. Our model in the VBA is the same. So, you know, some teams might have Saigon Heat, for example. We play ABL, VBA, you know, we play year round. We've got a youth development system. But when it comes to VBA competition, we can't spend $1 more than the lowest market team. Mm. So players are spread evenly each year. Teams cannot protect their entire roster. We're allowed to protect four players plus a handful of young players, and then everybody else goes back into the draft. So what I mean by parity is there's not a super team and there's not a bottom feeder. Every game is competitive, and the league is designed so you don't have two or three power teams and then the rest of the teams just, you know, as fillers for the league. All seven teams are capable of winning tonight. You know, everybody is privy to the same rules, the same salary cap structure, and they're all spending the same amount of money to build their teams.
Random question. When do you do your draft typically?
Well, you know, obviously this year things are unique because of COVID, but generally speaking, our VBA draft is sometime between March 20th and April 5th each year.
Interesting. It'd be fun to cover that. So, but okay, let's move on a little broader to ABL. Now, to introduce to people listening, there's news on ABL. None of it's really news. It's all a lot of hearsay about ABL. And I read a couple articles and I figured, you know, what we do is why read a bunch of skepticism when we can call somebody that might be able to clear it up, might not be. And so there's a lot of talk about what the future holds for ABL. So I'll just leave it at that and give it over to you.
Well, you know, I'll give you the straight answer, and I'm, you know, in involved in the mix. Our team, Saigon Heat, we're one of the equity owners of the league. Obviously, the talks that go on with the league and among the ownership of the ABL were hand in hand. So I'll give you the facts. The facts are we are an international league that spans over 9 different countries, and we're in a period of COVID where international travel is nearly impossible at this point. If you look at the league, you know, the budgets are pretty high. You know, teams are spending much as, you know, some teams are spending more than $1 million a year to run their clubs. So it's difficult for the league to start planning and, you know, spending money and preparing when we don't know if we can travel. We can't travel. So until there's some clarity on travel, we can't plan the ABL for the upcoming season. The ABL is not going under, the league's not folding, it's not going away, but it's prudent. How can we plan a league when we don't have a handle on how we're able to travel? So until there's some clarity on the travel, then, you know, the ABL, the next season will have to be a wait and see. And, you know, there's plans for us to do something in 2021, but everything's related to our ability to travel.
What would be the detriment of the league if you just called 2021 right now, just to be, so you wouldn't have to do this little dance, not sure about when or if it would work, if you just said right now, we're not going to do 2021, so we can be laser focused on 2022. I'm not in those talks, so I don't know what that would look like. Would that completely just destroy everything if you did that, or what would that be?
Well, I don't think that's fair to do that. We've had teams in the league 10 years. Our newer teams they really like being in the league. All of our teams have expressed an interest to continue to play. They like our format. They like the parity of the league. The league has really grown over the last few years. So nobody wants to see the league go or throw in the towel or even push it out to 2021-22. So I don't think it's fair to look at it like that. I think everybody wants to play. Everybody's anxious to play. We ended our season early. We were unable to, halfway through the season, we were unable to finish the 2019-20 season. So, you know, the practical thing to do is just let's keep our motivation to play as soon as we can. And let's keep an eye on the travel situation and how things improve or not with COVID.
So I think, to be clear, the official news that came out, the actual news was that this, you will not be re-picking up this season. The season's done.
Which season are you referring to? 2009?
Yeah, the one that got cut off, right? I think, isn't that what they were saying, is they wouldn't pick this one back up to finish the season that was started?
Correct.
Okay. And so you're still trying to figure out the next year. And that was really the rumor I was leaning towards, and many people listening probably already know what I'm talking about, and that was that we're going around, this league's done. And I've seen it in a few places enough to where I was like, all right, maybe we should ask somebody about that. But it you know, you said there's nothing confirmed on that. In fact, you're looking forward to getting it back started, but you do have some realistic speed bumps that you're trying to deal with.
That's right.
And so has there been, I don't know how to word this. This one's kind of tough. I'm just trying to think about how do you work with the governments of these different countries that all have different views and different policies. God, I don't know. That's got to be so difficult. You have a league with different teams in different countries, and you're not just dealing with the teams. You're dealing with the governments, right?
That's right. I think you answered your own question there. How do we deal with it? Is they don't cater to us because we're a sports team. They, you know, I'll take Vietnam, for example. As much as they appreciate the events and sporting events, they also put the safety of their citizens above all. So keeping the borders airtight, which they have, you know, since COVID came out, is a priority. And so they're not going to waver on that for anything. And so I can only speculate on other countries that they take the same approach. The COVID numbers are quite a bit higher in places like the Philippines, and it's not improving. Things have improved here. This has been one of the best countries in the world in terms of COVID. Thailand's improved, Singapore's improved, Malaysia's improved, but you know, we can't predict what governments will do, because they have a duty to protect their citizens and keep themselves as safe as they can be. So these travel landmines that you mentioned, we have no way to maneuver around them. We just have to wait for them to dissolve.
Is it fair to say you're trying to make sure, you know, everyone at ABL is trying to make sure you have next year planned completely? Because one of the worst things that could happen is a random spike and getting cut off mid-season again. I mean, that seems like that almost seems worse than missing a season, cutting a season halfway through.
That's right. Our owners are not interested in doing that for a few reasons. One, there's a significant cost to getting a season going, not just from an operation standpoint at the league level, but you know, from a team standpoint. You've got to bring your imports in, you've got different salary structures, you know, you've got to make deals with your venues, your event staff, media deals. You know, there are huge costs associated with these commitments. And to start a season and then you know, have a second wave or something, you know, related that will affect travel or your ability to run a league, you know, this is absolutely something that our owners are, you know, they'd like to avoid. It's just not practical to plan a season until we know that we can plan a season, full ability to travel, whatever the format is that we're able to come up with based on the environment of travel and other teams and the COVID situation. But we want to make sure that if we start a season that we can finish.
Kevin, is there anything you think you'd like to mention about either the Heat or ABL in general that talks about any of that? Anything we haven't covered that you think we should briefly mention?
If there's basketball players, import players out there, I want to leave this message. I know we're all looking for jobs, and we're looking for jobs that you know, are really provide the best opportunity for our families and our careers. I see so often players, you know, turning down great opportunities in Southeast Asia because they're not getting a salary of $500 more per month or something nominal. Look, if you're looking to play basketball, and especially in this environment where there's so much competition, if you get a job to play in a good league with a good organization, think more about the opportunity and less about holding out for a better offer. If you play basketball, if you take opportunities, you continue to play, good things will happen. I've seen it in so many different players that have come to the VBA, really, really good players, and their careers have taken off because they made the sacrifice to come here for a lower salary. They put up great numbers. They won a championship. And, you know, now these guys, you know, 3-4 years later have been rewarded by getting to a place where they've always wanted to go.
Just to add on to that, something you mentioned earlier was cost of living. So if somebody's getting a little bit less playing in Vietnam, it is important to know cost of living is so low that maybe a little bit less in your contract could carry a whole lot more than you think when you're in a place like Vietnam.
Sure, sure. You know, it's different. I like to use the cost of living argument for recruiting tool. And some players have called me out on it, and in good fairness, on their part, if you're in Vietnam and you're spending your money in Vietnam, the cost of living is definitely a benefit, or Thailand or Malaysia, other places. But you know, with a lot of our players, you know, they're just here for a couple of months, whatever it is, 3, 4, 5 months to play, and then they're back home with their lives back in the United States. So whatever salaries that they're earning here, more often than not, it's to support their lives back wherever they come from, whether it's Canada, the States. So if you're getting a $2,000 a month or a $1,500 a month salary, it's not always apples and oranges to how it spends in Vietnam.
That is an important distinction, because yes, it could carry a lot more in Vietnam, but most people are probably not using it in Vietnam. I guess that is true.
Yeah. So I was looking, for a player for our upcoming VBA season. I found a really good player, nice guy. Right away in the contract talks, he asked me the salary. I told him it was $1,500. And I said, you know, I gave him the cost of living argument, and his reply was, $1,500 doesn't even pay my child support. And so it just made me understand how, you know, that a lot of the money that the players earn supports a life, you know, back wherever they come from.
I do think the other argument you made, though, it being able to potentially make that step to ABL or at least showcase what you have for people that are connected in ABL is important. Is it a realistic jump to go from the VBA directly from there to ABL?
Last year we had six teams in the VBA, and we had two of our six. So it's one import per team, six imports on six teams. Two of our six imports played in the ABL. So that's one third of the VBA. The two others had got really good contracts in Europe. A third import, well, so our fifth, but the third got a good contract in Iceland, first division in Iceland. And the last import ended up going back to Australia and got a contract to play in the NBL One, which is a high level league, second division Australia.
Wow.
So playing in the VBA is definitely been a launching pad to get players to other places. The media exposure, all of our games are live streamed, easy access to find the games. They're all on our league's Facebook page. And then these players put up monster numbers. And I think as a coach that scouts players, I'm watching, you know, 6 to 7 hours of film a day, especially when we're in the recruiting stages. I often see players as I'm watching film, you know, playing in leagues where there's not a lot of effort. You know, the players are looking to get their numbers, their points and their rebounds, but maybe not necessarily as focused on team basketball or playing hard or doing the things that it takes, the little things to win. The VBA, that's one of the things that separates it from other leagues. When players come here, they come to win. Every culture has been set up where the local players and the heritage players, they give it their all. And so when an import comes in here as a sole import, he has no choice but to adapt. And that's what makes our league very special, is there's a true love for winning and a true passion to try to go out and fight for 40 minutes.
What do you think has been, or typically can be, the biggest hurdle for an import coming to play in VBA?
Salary.
Okay.
The low salary is really the biggest barrier. You know, the lifestyle, the amenities, the organizations. Our teams are well funded. Our league is well funded. It's one of the best marketed leagues in the world. All of those things are big attractions. But in the end, you know, players have a small window for their professional career. And if they're looking at a salary of $1,500 versus a salary of $3,000, they're going to take the extra money.
All right. Kevin, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think we got everything we needed.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Thank you. See ya.
Okay. Cheers.
There you have it. There's our interview with Kevin Yerkes to give us more information. Again, like I said, on the basics of Vietnam basketball, maybe some of the growth of Vietnam basketball, ABL, what it is, and of course, what a lot of you are here to listen to, the latest report on the future of the ABL. It was also interesting. I know maybe some of you are here to listen to the report on ABL, but there was a lot of other interesting things in there I hope you got from the interview. One of which was the dissection that Kevin was able to go into about Vietnam basketball. It's a league that we have yet to look at. We've touched on the region in several situations before. Specifically, we've talked PBA quite extensively with a lot of episodes there, and that kind of comes with the fact that we have quite a lot of listeners in the Philippines. But Vietnam basketball is something we have yet to look into. So I hope you didn't miss those details, maybe as you were waiting to hear the latest on the ABL, because that information about Vietnam basketball was quite valuable, quite interesting for me. Again, as every episode, my goal is if I listen and find something new and learn something new, hopefully the listeners as well got something new, some new information out of the episode. And for me, I definitely got a lot of new stuff out of this episode. Money is obviously a factor for a lot of players when they're going to play overseas. It's very important. And this is their life. In many cases, only means of finance. And if it's not, they have to have a solid plan about what they're going to do when they're not overseas. And so the more you can get, I can absolutely understand, the better. So you have less to worry about, less to plan for your times when you're not playing basketball. But it does beg the question and kind of intrigue the mind, at least mine, about what can a league do or a country do to climb the ladder, continue to get better, get more competitive, get more exposure when funding, or not necessarily funding, but the contracts aren't as high financially. If you were to put Vietnam on a list of the amount you make in a contract, it's not going to stand up to a lot of other countries out there. Now, if we take that in a broader sense, how does maybe a Vietnam basketball, but also other leagues with other sports in other countries that may be working on the same thing, how do they continue to grow without those high contracts? Is it possible? Are we now saying that you need a country or a league needs to have those high contracts in order to grow and develop? Are high contracts synonymous with league growth? I don't necessarily think that's true. And so it raises an interesting question. How big, how successful, how entertaining, how big of crowds? All of those questions. How big can a league get on more of the low-end contract offers? And then, in addition, how do you know when your league's ready to increase the amount of money you can offer in contracts? How do you decide how much is enough? All of those questions, those are much broader questions that teams and leagues need to decide. But they were all brought up in my head while interviewing Kevin, because we were looking at a league that may be on the lower end of contracts. And so, not to take anything away from Vietnam, I think it's an interesting league. I have been introduced to them in the past. We've never done an episode on them, but I can honestly say they were on my personal radar of fun leagues to watch, because you do get that fandom a little bit more than you see in other leagues. And so that does make it fun. It does make it interesting. And so we're going to continue to watch Vietnam basketball and see how it grows and see how it develops. But, and again, also this episode brought some important information about the ABL. Like I said a couple of times now, we're going to continue to watch that. Make sure you're following ABL if you're interested to get any of the newest information about what's going on and what their future may hold. It's just a testament to how COVID-19 has affected not just the sports industry, but also the travel industry. And when you have a league that's directly related to both of those things, crowds and international travel, you can only imagine how much they're affected. And so we'll continue to watch and see what happens. As of now, according to Kevin, it looks like there's no word on that. It looks like those comments about the league folding is a rumor. And so there's nothing significant to that, at least as far as this interview is concerned. It was confirmed again that this season is over, so maybe that's where the rumors were derived. Who knows? And maybe there's something else. So we'll continue to watch. I hope you do too. This has been a great interview. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for tuning in. And again, you will hear from us again next week. Hey everybody, thank you again for getting through another episode. We really appreciate it. I just want to quick redirect you to where you can find us one more time to kind of close out this whole episode. You can find us at facebook.com/globallyballin', Twitter @globallyballin', Instagram @globallyballinofficial, the name was taken, and patreon.com/globallyballin'. Again, what you can find there is all of these episodes music-free as well as ad-free, and a bunch of other tiers that offer you a lot of other stuff. There is a ton of content available for you that you are not getting here that's out there on the Patreon page. So if you want to check that out, that would be great. And then, of course, again, if you like the show, we would really appreciate a rating and a review wherever you listen. I know I normally suggest Apple Podcasts, but if there's a way, you know, if you listen to it somewhere else and there's a way to rate it, that would be great as well. But any of that is very, very helpful and very much appreciated. It does take a lot of work putting these things together and editing them up and making it all mesh together and getting our interviews lined up and all this. So it takes a lot, but we really believe in it, and we encourage you, if you believe in it too, doing one of those things to help us out would be fantastic. Otherwise, simply you listening to our episodes coming out is a huge blessing to us. So thank you very much for supporting the show, and you'll get an episode from us here in the coming days.